dissect that nicely. Thank you.
Okay. okay. So we are working now in this early portion of Love of Knowledge, and as I think I said last time, what I've been trying to do here by having us move back to the early parts of the book is really focus now in these closing weeks on how we take all the different themes and insights that we've been exploring and apply them in our daily lives. And of course, the royal road to do that, the approach to doing that, is inquiry. Free and open inquiry is the word that Rinpoche uses quite a bit in Love of Knowledge, or, you know, sometimes we say creative inquiry. But it's the same thing. For our purposes, certainly, it's the same thing. So, you know, the natural questions are, well, what are we inquiring into? you know, what's different about this kind of inquiry? And then how can we apply it? So that's what we're looking at in a general way. I want to do something here that I think I did last week also, which is really focus on the first sentence of the reading. So this time you remember, the first sentence is actually the last paragraph of chapter 9, and then we moved on to chapter 10. But the last paragraph of chapter 9 starts with the sentence, open inquiry takes us naturally beyond the concerns of the self, and the structures of knowing such concern sustains. So I want to look at that. And then I think as we get into that, I really want to invite you to be discussing the kinds of questions, the kinds of things that you've been doing to explore this, as I suggested, you know, the ways that you've been trying to conduct your own inquiry and you know, where that leads you and what kinds of things you discover. So, okay, first part of the sentence, open inquiry takes us naturally beyond the concerns of the self. So you might wonder, well, what's so natural? What's so natural about that? And what does it mean to go beyond the concerns of the self? And I think the best way to investigate that is to take it very literally. We have the concerns of the self. And I think what this sentence is implying, if you take it very literally, is that normally that's where we stop. Whatever kind of inquiry we're doing, we have as our starting point, which also then means our stopping point, my own concerns. You know, I'm trying to find ways to address my concerns or get answers to my questions. You know, there's different ways we could put that, but in every case, our beginning, our starting point is the concerns of the self, the wishes, the wants, the needs, the concerns. All of those terms are synonyms for our purposes. And we start with that, and then we do whatever we do. We ask questions, we try to come up with solutions, we try to make ourselves happy, whatever it is. But we do not question, we do not inquire into the concerns of the self. And that's what I mean by taking this literally. And the inquiry that TSK is offering is an inquiry that questions the concerns of the self. It questions everything. I may have mentioned this before, but there's a philosophy show, a radio show here, that is called Philosophy Talk, and their motto is, the program that questions everything except your intelligence. And that's kind of, I like that, and it's kind of similar to what we're saying. But the thing that's so interesting about TSK is that it's everything is really, really big. It's bigger than philosophy's everything, it seems to me, at least in most cases. And it's bigger than any kind of abstract concern on the one hand, because it's really trying to look at the at the reality of our lives, and it's bigger than the usual kind of questioning, let's say the kind of questioning that we're taught in science or, we learn in our education, because it doesn't take for granted the concerns of the self. It questions those. So when it says here, that open inquiry takes us beyond the concerns of the self, what I mean by taking that literally is it puts the concerns of the self into question also. It makes it, it invites us, it strongly encourages us to look at our own concerns, and it really puts those in the center. And our whole program, though, is the idea is the self in question. We want to keep that central concern of, or no, that's not the right way to say that. It turns out, if you look at what's going on in your experience, it turns out that at the center of our experience is the self, and more precisely or more specifically, at the center of our experience is our concerns. What we want, what we need, what we're trying to understand, what we are dissatisfied with, what we're happy about. It's all about me, And any kind of inquiry that is going to go deep, that's going to call everything into question, that questions everything, is going to be starting with the self. And not the self as a construct or an abstract, but the self as who we are, our very existence. There's a famous line by a German philosopher. He starts his book with this line. He says, "We are the beings whose being is in question." And again, that's a nice way of framing it, although I think he takes that in a very abstract direction. We're trying to be very concrete and specific about it. The question that we have when we do TSK inquiry, really, in you could say in a very fundamental way, that question is always the question about the self and its concerns. Now, sometimes we do inquiry into time or space or knowledge, but all of those, we do them not in order, not in an abstract way, not in order to understand more about time as a, considered as some sort of a concept, but to understand something about the time that we live in, which is shaped by our concerns and by our wish to answer our concerns, and the space that we inhabit, which takes form on the basis of being a self that has a certain set of concerns. So time and space and knowledge, the starting point is always the self, because that's the starting point of all of our experience. And a lot of the questioning that we do is meant to open up, to allow us to inquire into the concerns of the self. Okay, I think I've kind of pounded that point into the ground, so I'll stop with that. But the next question, in a sense, is to say, well, how do you put the concerns of the self into question? How does open inquiry work there? And I think this is pretty clear from everything we've been doing, but you don't set aside the concerns of the self, because if you did, you'd be setting aside the thing that is the right at the center of our experience, the part that is really going to reward inquiry, because it's where we live our lives. We spend our whole lives trying to satisfy the concerns of the self. And because we're going to be talking about technological knowledge a little bit later, maybe I can frame that in terms of technological knowledge. If you remember, those of you who've been with this program all year, in the earlier chapters, in the opening chapters of Love of Knowledge, Rinpoche talks about technological knowledge. And what he means by that is knowledge that is focused on satisfying the needs and concerns of the self. So we're still dealing with that same issue. The way that we understand knowledge is that it's knowledge about a world that unfolds in ordinary time and space, and has as its motivation satisfying the needs and concerns of the self. So we don't want to set any of that aside. That is exactly the subject matter of inquiry. What we want to do is be able to question those concerns. We don't say they're wrong. We don't say they're bad. We don't say they're misleading. Anything like that. We just are ready to call them into question. So the questioning here is not a challenging. Sometimes you question something in the sense of saying, "I don't believe it." That's not what we're talking about. You could say it that way, but you'd have to be very careful what you meant. What we really are talking about is you're questioning the self and its concerns in the sense that you are open to the possibility that they could change, that they could be different.
Yay.
Excuse me? Okay, I'm still not understanding. That's Tina, right?
Yay that they can change.
Oh, yay that they can change. I'm sorry. Okay, good. Yes, yay that they can change. Exactly. Because if they couldn't, we would be stuck.
I'm in a bridge today.
Okay. Okay. That's my phone, which I'm about to turn off. Hold on. Okay.
How is the question languaged about the self and its concern? What is the way in which the inquiry is languaged?
Mm-hmm. How would you put it into words, in other words? Well, I'm not sure there's a precise way. A lot of times, the inquiry really has to be more than words, clearly. Let me try to give a more specific example of how you would do that, and maybe that will answer that question. I'll try to keep it in mind as we go along. So the specific example that I was going to give, and it's not one example, it's more a range of issues that come up, and I think come up in a very concrete way. Many times we have the experience of doing something that, one way of saying this, that goes against our better judgment, or that goes against some decision that we've made, or some understanding of who we would like to be. I'm going to have to turn my phone off. Sorry, this person's going to be very persistent, I can tell. Let me just turn my phone off for a second. Okay. The kind of example that I have in mind usually involves some decision that we've made or some resolve, something that we've decided to do. And so, for instance, a lot of people do meditation, for instance, or maybe there's some physical, you go running in the morning, or maybe it has to do with what you eat or don't eat, or has to do with watching television or not watching television. There are many, many things where we say, this is not good for me to do, or this is good for me to do, and so from now on I'm going to act in this way. And then, in fact, we don't act in that way, right? We do something, we say we're going to meditate every day, or get up and run every morning, and we do it for a couple of days, and then we don't. That's the kind of situation that I'm looking at or thinking about as a specific example. The issue in that case is, what is it about the self that makes it go against its own best judgment about what's valuable? Now, you know, there might be other circumstances where we do something because, you know, we think we ought to do it, or somebody expects us to do it, and it's not actually what we think is the most valuable thing. But I'm not worried about that kind of situation. I'm looking at a situation where we really are very clear that there's a particular decision that would be beneficial for us, or a particular way of acting that would be beneficial for us, and we don't do it. And so the place to look is at that not doing moment. So we say, or the question to ask, and this is maybe now going in the direction of you know, what, how do we put the words, what are the words we put to this question? The question is, what's going on with the self in the moment when it does something that goes against its own judgment? What is it, what are the concerns that are driving the self? You could put it that way. But I don't think, you know, I don't think asking the question in words is necessarily the right move at that point, because if you put it in words, you're looking, the tendency is to give an explanation. So, oh, well, the reason I'm not getting up to meditate is that I'm tired. Well, that's a pretty kind of simple explanation, but something like that. But that's not actually what we're trying to do, it seems to me. What we're trying to do is, let's say you're lying there, let's take that example. Maybe that speaks to some people. You're lying there in bed, and you say to yourself, I ought to get up to meditate. But in fact, maybe before you've noticed almost, you know, you've gone back to sleep. Or maybe you make a conscious decision. You say, no, I just feel too tired today. I'm going to get up. Okay, that's the words part. What we want to look at is, what is the range of experience that comes up in that moment? Well, it's not a question you put in words. It's you look around. You know, you're about to act in a certain way, or you are acting in a certain way. And in the very moment of acting in that way, that range of experience, which is shaped by the concerns of the self, right? That's where we're looking. Is that clear? Does that seem fairly clear? So let's talk about that. I mean, in the sense of, you know, I asked you last time, and you know, I don't think you needed me asking you so much. It goes very much to the heart of what we've been doing. If you look at what's going on in your life and you do it in this way that is open to inquiry, what do you find? You know, what kinds of obstacles come up, perhaps? Or what kind of insight is there? Or are there times when it's easier to do it than not? I'm trying to raise the whole range of questions just so that we can open it up for discussion a little bit. What do people have to say?
Well, I go beyond that, and I ask myself, you know, well, with TSK, I've learned that, to me, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm conditioned a certain way, so that's not in my favor anyway, and to break a habit is really difficult. Your brain just, you know, doesn't function that way if you're habitually doing something. But to me, I kind of go beyond that and ask, well, you know, that's just another conditioned way of being too, getting up and running if I think that's going to be good for me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd rather lay in bed and meditate and feel that joy, you know, do that little exercise and feel that joy open up within me and be there. And to me, I just think, you know, well, that's just another linear thing, you know. Well, they say it's good to run. Well, there's lots of people that say it's not good to run. So I've got a zillion questions going through my mind trying to figure out what's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of that kind of thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shut up now.
No, that's fine. And actually, you know, there's a whole range of questions that might come up. Let's say you're trying to make a decision about what the right thing is to do, right? But it would be the same kind of inquiry. It wouldn't be so much saying, well, this person says that's good and that person says the opposite is good, and so you're trying to decide between the two. The field of inquiry, the place that you would focus your inquiry is what goes on in yourself. In other words, let's take that example for a moment about making a decision. There's something I read once that I liked, and I think helps clarify this point. I read that someone asked Sigmund Freud, you know, how you should, if you have a choice to make and you don't know how to decide, how can you decide? And he said, flip a coin. And you know, and they were surprised. And he said, yes, flip a coin and then see what your reaction is to the outcome. And that, I think, points you in the right direction. You know, it's not making the decision, it's kind of looking at your own emotional reaction. Now, I don't think that the emotional reaction is the whole story, but it's a way in. It's focusing the direction, the inquiry in the right place, because what you're looking at is all of the different aspects of the self. And if you want a kind of an interesting, it's short, but an interesting description of some of the things you might look at, you can look at the exercise at the end of chapter 9, which is called Expanding and Contracting Thought. And it says, consider as aspects of the thought the surrounding feeling, the sense of the one who thinks, well, I've got to say it doesn't say very much. It says the surrounding feeling and the sense of the one who thinks, and then it says, etc. But it at least suggests that there's a complex going on at any time. There's your emotional reaction or what's going on for you emotionally in a situation. There's your perception in the situation. There's your sense of yourself. There's your sense of connection to the decision that has to be made. It would probably be a good exercise, but I haven't done it, to try to spell out a lot of those different components. But the point is that, you know, if we say, here I am, I'm inhabiting this space, this world, and then we ask, so what does that mean? What do I find in this world that I inhabit? Well, it's not the objective world that we usually think of. It's, you know, trees and automobiles and buildings and so on. I mean, that's one very small aspect of it. But the world that we inhabit is a world that is very rich with all sorts of things that are meaningful in various ways to the self. And I don't mean things, again, trees, automobiles, cars. That's part of what is there. But there's also memories, images that flow through the mind, emotions, regrets, concerns. That's the world that we inhabit. It's you know, last week it wasn't last week, but you know, one way to think about our experience is to say, everything that happens is part of our experience, and there's no way around that. There is no objective world beyond our experience. Not for the self, there isn't. There's only the experience of the self. And you can look at that, and you can also look at how that plays out then for the self in you know, because the experience is not only the circumstances, but it's our reaction to the circumstances. And that's what there is to know. That's what there is to inquire into. That's what free and open inquiry means, and it means that we don't put some part of that off limits by saying, this is my position, right? It's like, you know, if you imagine that you're looking at something through a telescope, and you say, well, I see everything that's out there at the other end of the telescope, you know, whatever light comes in through the telescope, that's what I have available to see. The opposite of that would be to say, what I'm investigating is not just what I see through the telescope, but the telescope and the one who's looking through the telescope and the place where the telescope is mounted. In other words, nothing is left out. And when you look at that whole of everything that's together, everything that comes together as a field for inquiry, it does all center on the concerns of the self. Let me make just one more point about this first sentence of the chapter, because we only got through the first half of the first sentence, and then let's see if people have anything else to say about that. So the question says, the sentence says, we go beyond the concerns of the self and the structures of knowing such concern sustains. And the point there, and we've talked about this, and it really does have to do with technological knowledge, which we talked about a little too, when the concerns of the self are not called into question, then knowledge becomes essentially technological knowledge. You know, it's about how to address or deal with or satisfy the concerns and needs and wants and wishes of the self. That's the kind of knowledge that's available to us. There isn't any other knowledge that's available to us. And free and open inquiry calls that into question because it calls the self into question. So I just wanted to tie those two things together. Now, in terms of people's own inquiry, let me see, does anybody have anything else to add to that or anything you'd like to say on the basis of what you've been investigating and exploring?
One thing that struck me in the meeting was later on in chapter 10 that it suggested that if we really embark on that open inquiry, we not only help ourselves, but we help the whole world.
Yes.
Others. That seems like such a leap, but it's a really intriguing one.
It is. It does. Yeah, it does seem like kind of a leap, doesn't it? I think it's definitely good to look at that. It's what I think of as kind of the moral dimension of TSK. You know, there's a place, most of you have probably seen the discussion at the very beginning of Dynamics of Time and Space where Rinpoche says, TSK is none of these things. And one of the things he says is it doesn't have a moral code. But that doesn't mean, it seems to me, that it's without morality. And the morality of it has to do with being ready to call the self into question. You know, if you're only focused on the concerns of the self, if you're not ready to go beyond the concerns of the self to call them into question, then you will take certain moral stands, and you'll have reasons for doing that, and you know there are whole bodies of knowledge which try to investigate that and understand it. But what TSK says is if you call the self into question, if you call the self, the concerns of the self into question, in the sense that, simply just the sense that you're ready to question them, and you're ready to question them in the immediacy of their being experienced, not in some abstract way, not in terms of trying to figure out whether you've thought it through correctly, but within the immediacy of the experience, then you really are acting for everybody at that point, or you're open to everybody at that point. And both of those things, in a way, amount to the same thing. If your inquiry goes deep enough, if you call the self into question, then it really becomes true to say that you're in the world with everybody. And that's not our ordinary experience. that withness, that being there with others, is really contrary to technological knowledge, to the knowledge that is trying to satisfy the needs of the self. Now, I think maybe, yeah, go ahead.
Isn't that the same as the Tao that in some tradition of Japanese or Chinese, I'm not sure, I think Zen, it says the Tao is when I am everyone or one can become everyone and interest of everyone. Because you mean that self-interest of one way of looking at things.
Yes, I think that's right. You know, there's a way of looking at this, or the self, to have a self or to be a self. In one way, it means you have a certain position, we've talked about this, and there are certain conditions that restrict what's possible for you. And it's a very fixed place in the universe. And what you do really when you're a self is you create, and this is, putting it this way maybe opens up more questions than we can really talk about right now, but you create a universe, and it's a universe that puts you at the center. You know, there's you, and there's everything that you care about or worry about or are afraid of or wish you had, and that's your universe. That's your world. World is probably a better word. TSK questioning is TSK inquiry calls that whole structure into question. And it does it by going right to the center, which is the self, and its concerns. And it's just ready to call them into question. And because it does that, the model of you at the center of your universe doesn't hold in the same way. And so then you're there with everything. So there's that nice Zen phrase which talks about studying Buddhism means studying the self, and studying the self means forgetting the self. And forgetting the self, they say, means being one with everything. So if you wanted to adapt that just slightly for TSK purposes, you'd say, studying TSK in a very fundamental way, maybe not completely, but in a very fundamental way, studying TSK means studying the self. Studying the self means inquiring into the self and its world at the very deepest level, including the level of looking at the time and the space that the self inhabit. And doing that means being one with everything. And that's the moral dimension. And I think that's the leap, you know, and it is kind of a leap. I mean, it's surprising in this chapter because you didn't think he was going there and then suddenly he's there. So that's another good thing to question. Or it's good to kind of look at how Rinpoche gets there, and that's what we've been exploring. But you know, the inquiry that we're talking about is not necessarily that inquiry, because the inquiry we're talking about is, to say it again, is the inquiry that happens in the moment of the self's experience, being ready to question how the self is experiencing, being ready to ask questions about how the self is experiencing. So that's it. We're still involved in the same structure that we have been involved in. You know, we're still involved in the same basic practice that we have been involved in. And in terms of trying to apply that to your own experience, I think that the kind of situation that I was trying to describe, where you find yourself doing something that you don't really think you should be doing, and you're doing it anyway, that's a really good place to look. It doesn't mean necessarily that you'll stop doing it. Maybe you'll do it anyway. And, you know, it's a good question to ask. I mean, it seems very surprising. We have an idea, we have a commitment to a certain set of values or beliefs, and those lead to certain consequences about how we live our lives, but in fact we don't follow them. So what is that not following? What's going on? When you, if you can look there, then surely you're going to learn, you're going to learn something interesting about the self. That's one good way of practicing. Another way of practicing is simply to see in a situation, in any situation, try to look in as many ways as you can at what's going on for you in that situation. That's giving an exercise in the most general possible terms. But, you know, look at the one who's having the experience, the values that come up, the associations. As I said, maybe you'd like to make a list of all the possible things you can look at. And that doesn't mean you have to follow the list you've made, but at least to help you broaden out the possible range of inquiry, which is what we're interested in right now. Okay, so let's stop there for today. And the reading for next week is, there's a very tiny shift from the actual chapter in Love of Knowledge. So I'm going to post that. I'm going to send along, it's just a very slightly revised version. It's like two words. I changed two words or something just to make it fit into the flow of what we're going to be reading. So I'll post that revised version along with the orientation.